it can cause decreases in productivity. It can give you physical symptoms like a racing heart or bigger problems. And of course, there's mental health issues associated with it, like depression. Today, we learn more about career burnout. Thanks for listening and subscribing to Learning More. It is Russ with you. I'm joined today by Kyla Kofer. And Kyla, we are going to talk about career burnout today. This is one that I'm excited to talk about. So thank you for joining me today.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
It's such a hot topic right now with so many people leaving their jobs at this point. This topic, though, is one that hits really close to home because I feel like I had that a bit. I feel like I went through this career burnout thing. I'm working from home. I'm working long hours. I'm managing 16 people. Got really strict deadlines and a lot on my plate. And at some point during the pandemic, I just said, that's not important to me. It's not what I should be focused on, right? Somebody in some book that I was reading said something to the effect of, when you quit your job, you're replaced in a month, right? Now, if you die and you leave your home life, you're not replaced in a month. Well, generally, some people maybe. Right. But like, that's the important thing. Like, that's where you want to spend your time and energy. And, you know, some people, maybe they don't want to spend. Like, that's not what they want. But that's what I felt like I wanted. And it became like this quality of life thing and where I should focus. Is that why you think that many people are having this career burnout right now? Similar to what I was feeling?
Yeah. Well, there's a couple of different things to think about burnout. Is that, first of all, we want to get clear on what burnout actually is and what it means. So if you wanted to look up the actual definition of burnout, it's the mental, emotional, physical exhaustion from overwork or stress. So burnout can actually have physical consequences. If you keep at that high level that you were just talking about when you were working 16 hours a day or day, is that what you said? Working these long, long
like
days. Yeah. Caring for all these people and you're going. That takes a toll on not just your mind, but your body. And you'll start to notice those physical symptoms of it if you don't say, no, I'm going to stop and do this. And I think during the pandemic, people started noticing this. Before, we would just deal with it. Before the pandemic, we would just deal with it. But it forced us to stop, even through shutdowns, things, you know, being stuck in your house and not being allowed to go do those things. And all of a sudden, our health starts coming back to us in different ways. Outside of, you know, if you had COVID, but your mental health, you had a chance to take a pause and step back and go, what am I really doing here? And death became a lot closer to us when we saw that the end of our life isn't just some future date out there, that it's a possibility. And at some point, it's going to happen to us. So our quality of life matters.
Right.
And this became right in the front of our minds. And both physically and mentally, emotionally, where we said as a culture and worldwide, people said, I don't want to just run myself to that death point. I want to have a good quality of life. And so we've made a lot of changes in trying to stay away from that burnout, because once you do get that burned out, it becomes a serious thing. You do end up in the hospital. You have heart issues. You have digestive issues. Your hair can fall out. Things just start stacking up on each other. And that's what we want to avoid.
Yeah. I didn't have to, I wasn't concerned about the hair falling out. That happened years before, but everything else, I did notice things after the shutdown and there was the stress, that initial stress of, oh my God, we got to figure out how to get groceries. Like, oh, toilet paper's out in our town. Like, what do we do? Like, there was that whole, you know, first couple of like, we got to hunker down and figure this out. All of a sudden we've got to, you know, essentially homeschool in many ways because they didn't quite figure out the distance learning. There was a ton of things that are on your mind at that point. But then at some point, I remember like looking out the window and seeing squirrels like running across the fence and paying more attention to those squirrels at times than to whatever I was doing. I was like, wow, like when do I pause? Like I don't pause, right? So I felt like all of a sudden, and it's weird to say this, but because of the pandemic and the shutdown, I felt so much more relaxed. You know, like I felt like I was less tired. I could enjoy things a little bit more. And even like my, I have the Apple Watch that tracks my heart rate. My daily resting heart rate went down, wow, not being in the office. It's like, that's right there. Like that's a huge change, right? Like
with physical things.
Right. So these are all things that I started to feel, and it completely changed, you know, my outlook. And that's why, you know, last November, I was like, okay, I need to move on. I need to find something else. I need to find something that's more in line with my need and desire to spend time with the family, my quality of life, like mm-hmm. the things that I am looking for. And it was tough to make that move, but it's like on the other side of it, I feel so much better, like just way better on a daily basis.
Yeah. And many people are making this decision right now too, of going, I am important and I matter. So I think a lot of times we tend to get into this, oh, there's a word for it and it's leaving me right now, but this giver, or the save, need to save and need to accomplish and need to grow and do. Mm-hmm. And we see that a lot in nonprofits, because nonprofits are traditionally people who just really love to give, the givers and helpers.
Right.
And it's really easy in any job to believe that the work that you're doing is more important than you,
right?
That you have to show up and you have to do all of these things. But the truth is that if you're not caring for yourself and your own well-being, then how well is that work really getting done?
Right.
Especially if you're running like on such low levels of energy, how can mm-hmm. you really put the effort that you need into that role?
Yeah. And where does that come from? Like, why are we like, it seems like the country is like that, right? Like we think that, oh, well, you know what? I've got to go do this. Like, yeah, the work is more important than myself. Where does that come from? Why do you think we think that way? It's
we're a very independent culture overall. I mean, kids leave the house at 17, 18, 19, whatever. Whereas a lot of cultures won't leave their family's house until they're married. And if they don't get married, they stay there forever. And so we're very independently driven culture, and we want to be able to say that I did this on my own and I don't need any help and I can survive and I'm just fine. But then sometimes it's a need for survival. So we, you know, if you look in through just history of a people, of a culture, of movements, that there have been things that happened from wars to different things that have happened, that you get into this pattern of mm-hmm. I just need to survive, and working this hard is going to make sure that my kids can go to school, that I have food on the table. You know, if I don't work and give myself everything, you know, think of it like an hourly basis. When you're paid at an hourly rate, if you don't work 20 hours, you're not getting paid 20 hours. That means you can't afford the groceries, you can't afford the rent, and that depends on where you're going to live, your status in society, your ability to get the things that you want for your children and to grow and to thrive, mm-hmm. all of those things. And so we really easily fall into this mode of, I'm going to push everything that I have so that I can get what I really need, not just what I want. And it can be really, really difficult to say, I'm going to stop that over there and that pursuit, because if I stop it, then I won't be getting what I need. How am I actually going to feed my family if I'm not working 70, 80 hours a week? You know, right. So you're asking those very real practical questions. And sometimes that's having to say no to certain things, which we don't want to say no. We're people who love to say yes. We want to have our kids involved in the sports and the clubs and the activities. We want ourselves. We want the boats and the nice house and three cars in our driveway and a laptop and the really nice podcast mic and, you know, just different things that we want. And so you have to work to get those things. And sometimes it's a lack of creativity, right? Not having the creativity to find unique ways to supplement that income. And we might not have the space to be creative because right. our energy is gone, getting all that work done.
Over the last several months after leaving that particular position, and the thing is, like, I don't blame them. I blame myself, right? I just went all in, and that's who I am, and I'm trying to change that. I don't want to be the workaholic, because I know that leads to burnout. I need to take the breaks. I need to close the lid on the laptop and walk away, right? Like, That was all on me. Like I don't blame.
It's hard to do.
But it's right. It is. It's hard to make that adjustment. But on the other side of it, like you said, I feel way more creative. I am coming up with creative ideas. I started the podcast while I was there, right? And now, like, I am now running 3 podcasts. I've got some live stream stuff going on. I've got all of these creative ventures that I'm working towards because I now have that emotional space to do it. I'm not tired. I'm not like focused on something else. I'm not always thinking about, is our website going down or is this project on time? That lack of stress has been fantastic.
Well, rest fuels innovation and creativity. And, you know, that's another thing too. In a corporate environment where people wanted to be in charge, you don't want the low-level workers coming up and taking your job. So we're going to keep them stressed out. And so they don't have time to be innovative and creative because we're going to be the innovative and creative ones. You know?
In your role as a leadership coach, do you talk about that to the business owners and people that are leaders and try to get them to say, oh, well, you know what? If you're giving them more space for themselves or more downtime, then the uptime is going to be so much better.
Yeah. Well, it's one of the first things we talk about anytime I'm doing leadership training, is because self-care, wellness, I always say if you're not well, your company's not well. So I focus on training the leaders themselves and encouraging well-being for leaders themselves. I have a 3-step method where I talk about how to do that. But that also applies then over to the company. Once a leader of an organization has developed those well-being habits for themselves, they can also start to let those overflow to creating a culture of well-being in the company. And when you do that, a number of things happen. Your attrition rate goes up. You're not having to hire employees all the time because people want to stay and work with you because they feel good about being there and mm-hmm. they're happy in their lives. And also your sales go up because your employees are happier, they're doing better, they're more excited to be there, and so they promote your company and you do better overall. So it benefits all of society for us to care about the well-being of each other and ourselves.
Yeah.
But sometimes we just forget.
Totally. Yeah. Well, and you know, the thing is, it's easy to forget, right? Because mm-hmm. you just get in that mindset. And I feel like that pandemic pause that mm-hmm. we had really made us all kind of look at it from the outside and say, mm-hmm. oh, okay. And that's why we're seeing these numbers of people yep. leaving. That's my opinion.
It's been a really beautiful thing to see this culture shift that we're now having where, you know, before it was just a few companies who cared about well-being, and you would say the best places to work, you know, on the top 10 right. list of the best places to work or whatever. And, fastest growing companies, but now it's growing, that investment in well-being and creating those cultures of employee satisfaction, not just with their work, but with their own person is starting to become the mainstream. And that's what my whole goal is for being a self-care leadership and self-care coach, is to see well-being as natural as getting a paycheck. Like it's part of who we are. This is what we do, that it's a requirement for being.
I love that approach. I ran a business for 13 years. And I said to myself, once I dislike going to work, I will sell this business. Once I start not liking this, I am done. And that's what I did. It got to a point of where it became very stressful. It was an entertainment company. We had at our peak 400 or 500 events in a year. Like that's a lot to manage. That's a lot going on. Yeah. And it's like, you know what? Can I focus on the kids and the family and do this job? I'm like, you know, I'm going to get a day job. And then, you know, it turned into, well, you know, me, because I'm that way, I dug in deep and worked long hours and, you know, went kind of that entrepreneur, you know, route.
It's really hard to change when you're used to a certain habit, way of being.
Yeah. All right. So we are talking about career burnout today on Learning More. And, you know, one of the things that I've done to prevent my career burnout is to practice something else, to do something else. And that something else is this right here, podcasting. I love doing this. It's not really work for me. I'm doing this all the time and I am loving it. And I would love to have your support on our podcast. You can do that in several ways. First of all, make sure you subscribe wherever you're listening right now. You can rate the podcast and you can share it with friends. And also you can join us on Patreon. There is a link in the podcast description. We've got some extras coming up for you Patreon members out there. Those details will come soon, and it'll be released over there on the Patreon side. Okay, I am talking with Kyla Kofer about career burnout. And Kyla, you have a three-step method that I want to talk about for preventing and healing from burnout. Can you tell us a little about that?
Yeah, so it's really easy to remember. I really love dancing. Dancing is just, it's a fun outlet for me. I don't get to do it as much as I used to, but we have, you know, dance parties with my kids in the living room. So I like to use the acronym of CHA-CHA because it's just a physical thing that you can do to remember. So C-H-A and repeat. So C is connect, and it's the very foundation of well-being, burnout prevention, and healing, because we can't heal without connection. And so when I say connection, I'm meaning both internally and externally. We need to be connected to who we are, our own needs, wants, desires, taking moments of stillness, whatever that looks like for you personally to reconnect with who you are. So we need that, but we also need external connections. And this plays really an important role, especially in company cultures, as we're talking about corporate burnout, because if you're not having connections with and building those relationships, then you don't have well-being. We are created as humans to have connections with each other. And that's what can fuel our growth. So we always start with connection, and then we move to health. Health is and healing is really just a knowledge and awareness of your own mental health and also physical health. So knowing what you need for yourself and then finding resources for that. So the best example here I have is if you're diabetic, knowing what you need for your own diabetic health, because your doctor is not going to be coming to your house four times a day, testing your insulin, making sure you're eating the right things, all those things. It's you being responsible for yourself, for your own well-being. And that goes mental health and physical health. And then we have A, which is actions. And actions is just taking the steps. So exercise, physical activity. I don't like exercising, so that's a tough one for me.
Well, you can dance.
but I do dance. But that doesn't mean you have to go to the gym six times a week. It means just moving your body to keep it moving, you know, being able to, whatever that looks like to keep your body mobile for you, doing that type of activity. And then it's healthy eating. And then it's things like setting boundaries, or it's more of like an inaction of avoiding risks, you know, taking appropriate risks, but not inappropriate risks. Doing things like wearing your seatbelt in the car. This is very basic to self-care. It's wearing a helmet when you're riding your motorcycle. You know, you don't think of that in terms of self-care, but it really is. One that I really love to talk about is good hygiene, which is just a basic thing, but what good hygiene does. Sorry if I'm talking faster. I get really excited about this
topic. No, I like it.
But what good hygiene is yeah, it's taking care of yourself, your actual, like, I can touch it, physical person. But what it does, it's actually teaching you how to create habits of taking care of yourself. So I remember one time I stayed up too late, because that's what you do when you're a parent. You're like, I finally get a moment to myself.
Yeah, right.
And you're staying up too late. And I was like, I just got to go to bed. I really need to brush my teeth. I don't want to brush my teeth. I'm just going to skip that tonight and just go to bed. Well, then about 30 seconds later, all of a sudden I realized my toothbrush was in my hand with toothpaste on it. And I didn't even know how it had gotten there, because it was such a habit for me that every night I brush my teeth before I go to bed. And so you're just, this hygiene is just creating these habits. And that's what self-care is. Self-care is different from pampering. It's not bubble baths every night and spa days twice a week. It is, or even once a month, whatever that is for you. Self-care are these habits of actually caring for your person. Mm-hmm. And we want to keep that from just, you know, it can sometimes feel overwhelming. Like, it's another thing on my to-do list. I've got like, okay, now I have to eat healthy and create a healthy meal plan and go get exercise and floss my teeth. And it's like this other to-do list. But when we've started with some basic habits, then it's not like a to-do list. It's just part of who we are. And the more you practice, just like anything else, the easier it becomes.
Right.
And then before you know it, you're in this rhythm of, I am worth the effort of caring for myself. Mm-hmm. So all of that, the cha-cha, is really just a dance of self-worth. Yeah.
It's just one problem though is for me, my action is, I love to, and this is like a self-care thing for me, right? Like, I love to go in the backyard and barbecue. right? Just watching the whole process of it. I've got music out there, like some jazz music playing or whatever I feel like. And I'm, you know, doing the barbecue thing, or I'm using the smoker, and, you know, it takes a longer time and I have to go out and check in. And it's like this interesting, like, way of like, okay, this is takes me away from everything else. All I'm thinking about is just cooking, like preparing this. But the problem is, you know, I'm usually it's something unhealthy.
Well, but what you're doing there is actually you're internally connecting with yourself. It's right. You're actually right. Building that connection, those moments of that slower rhythm. And, you know, healthy eating is not this expectation that every single thing you put in your mouth is going to be this, you know, on a nutritionist's meal plan.
Right.
Ice cream is fine. Barbecue is fine. It's just trying to make those where you're not having them every meal. I'm not going to eat ice cream, a pint of Ben and Jerry's for every single meal. I'm going to eat that when I'm celebrating or on a Sunday afternoon when I'm having friends over and I'm building those connections. Mm-hmm. And honestly, you eat less when you're building with connections with other people and you're spending time with other people. That's so, yeah. You know, I don't judge yourself for that at all.
All right. Pulled pork is perfectly fine. I'm going to write that down.
I would say in that case, since you're building that connection and you're having those, that kind of, it's more meditative for you. It sounds
it totally is. And yeah. When I tell people, like, you know, like, they're like, I use this app to meditate, or I do that. I'm like, I use my barbecue.
that is meditation for you. And that works just as well. And that, I would say, is even more important than what's on the plate. Because here we are in our lives. If we're not connecting with ourselves and with other people, then what do we have?
Right. I like that these are open topics now, right? That like talking about like mental health, meditation, recognizing yourself, like all of these things were not talked about for so long. And I feel like these things weren't talked about as like corporate culture and just corporations in general were being built, right? I mean, Henry Ford making the assembly line, like he did some fantastic things for employees. He did the minimum wage. He did certain work hours. Like he was the person to kind of innovate the 40-hour work week. He did those things to take care of his staff because he knew if they were happy, they would hang in a little bit longer. So these aren't new ideas. They've been around for a long time, but I feel like we sort of forgot to practice them for such a long time.
Well, I think people are often afraid of change. And there's a lot of stigma around mental health for some reason, because, you know, 50, 60 years ago, it's not something you talked about. And so people start talking about it more and more and more. And just like anything in change, it's just slow. But once it hits and everybody gets it and realizes it, you go, oh, well, I was wrong. I'm going to get on this train, you know, and then you're at some point, you're not even having to admit that you were wrong by ignoring it, because you're just getting on board with everybody else. Because if you don't, you're in trouble, you know.
Early on one of my episodes, early on in the pandemic, I asked somebody, do you think that mental health will be the next pandemic, right? And it's interesting now to be kind of, and I can't say we're done with this. Who knows? We'll actually be done with this. But we're in a much better place than we were in 2020. And it almost feels like there's been some really positive things that have come out of this, where we are recognizing these things and we are talking about this. And I think the big quit, as they're calling it, like that actually seems like it's kind of a good thing in many ways.
I think that there's always two sides to every coin. Absolutely. That you've got a lot of positive things within the trauma, and a lot of it is to just awareness. Yeah. Being willing to say, to open your eyes and say, oh, I see now. I see that that things don't have to be how they always were.
I feel like we need to give that disclaimer of, okay, it was awful.
Yes.
You know, the death count, the impact on small business, the lockdowns, just awful.
It still is.
And it will continue to be for probably some time. Who knows what the next page of this crazy pandemic book is going to be. But yeah, looking at the brighter side of it, looking at the things that have come out of it. And I think there's been several pretty good things that have come out of it.
There have been a lot of tragedies and a lot of trauma through this pandemic. And yes, that has opened our eyes, I think, to a lot of things that have been gifts in the way. You know, in every tragedy and every disaster, there are always gifts somewhere. And that goes into a whole different whole different podcast episode where we can talk about meaning and how we find meaning and enjoy in our lives, even in the middle of tragedy. So when we're talking about, you know, mental health in the middle of a pandemic, career burnout, all of these things that have been really difficult for people to face, there have been some gifts, and looking at those gifts will help us continue and go forward and move forward with our lives. And so we don't want to stay in disaster and tragedy mode forever.
Right. And so this might be an odd segue, but from exactly what you just said about disaster and tragedy forever, some people could feel like where they are in their either career or just that particular job, that this is forever. This is just what I need to do. This is what I need to, and just keep going and keep going, somewhat as a fear of moving to something different. I had a fear of moving to something different. If I leave here, like, I have security here, but that fear of leaving, touch on that a little bit. How do we deal with that?
I was just talking to somebody about that a couple hours ago, really. So that's interesting that you bring it up, because there's always a fear in something different and in moving forward. Sometimes it's the fear of change. It's the fear of the unknown. It's the fear of all those questions that we haven't answered, that, okay, how am I going to pay my bills? How am I going to keep up relationships? And helping to look at yourself and go, okay, what is it that I'm afraid of, first of all? Is it the process itself, or is it some of those unknowns? Well, then how can I deal with those unknowns? Like, let's just look at them one at a time. And when you start doing that slowly, it can be less scary. But also, if you think, I don't have to solve all of the answers at once, let's just start with one. We'll start with one and we solve that problem, and then we'll move to the next one. You can go all the way back to Plato and his allegory of the cave. If you know this allegory, it's so beautiful. It's this vision of people who have lived in a cave. They're looking at the back wall of the cave, and they just see these shadows on the wall of like animals or people or creatures or leaves floating by, and all they see. And so their whole life is those shadows. Well, somebody turns around and says, "Hey guys, there's this whole world out here." And people go, no, this is the world. It's these things, these shadows on the wall. And it was terrifying to leave this cave. I am safe. I am secure. I know what to expect, and to leave it spells danger. And so that's where we're at when this moment of, I don't want to leave my job. I don't want to move on, because you're surviving here. You know what it is. You know what to expect. Anything else out there is not just unknown, but it could be dangerous.
Right.
And so it's a way of protecting ourselves, and we have to weigh it. Okay. Do we want to stay here in this cave forever? And are we okay with that? Or do we want more? And if we want more, then you have to take that step out and just trust that the whole world out there is actually big, beautiful, and full of fruit and plants and trees and birds.
Right. Well, it's a huge risk. And I think this goes along with your, you know, the cha-cha, right? This is the action. This is the potential action that you could take as well to make a change, to help your connections, to help your health. You know, this could be, but it could also be a big, you know, fail. Like that's the scary part about it.
It could be, but when have you failed in the past and survived? Have you failed in the past and survived?
Oh yeah.
You know, have. Right.
Yeah.
What does failure do to us?
Right.
It helps us grow. It gives us strength. It gives us courage. It gives us a lesson learned, and we grow. So what are we afraid of? Okay, well, we're afraid of being homeless, having no food to eat. I don't know, not being able to send our kids to the school that we want to send them to. And then you have to ask yourself, well, would I actually allow those things to happen? Would I actually allow myself to be homeless or to not be able to feed my children? Well, if it came down to it, you probably would not allow those things to happen. Most of us would not allow those things to happen. We would do what it took, even if that ends up not being what we anticipated it being.
Right. The fear of the failure, and when you put it in those types of terms, it does make it a lot easier to digest. And I guess, you know, I don't know. It many times I've tried to, is specifically in career, is embrace those failures, right? To just take it on and be like, okay, I failed at this. This didn't work out, right? Like, I mean, what can I learn from that? What can I take on? How do I move on from that? And how do I, you know, make it different? like for me, and you know, like I said, it was scary to leave that job. Like that was not an easy decision to make because there was so much there.
Of course not. And I've got talks and courses and podcast episodes on failure itself. So, but really what it comes down to is taking it as a learning opportunity and not either not being afraid of it or being afraid of it and doing it anyway.
You're learning from that. Like, and now I know, like, okay, on my next role in this new job, I've got to watch for these signs and I can't do this so that I have that same failure of to myself. It's like a failure to myself of like working too much, going overboard, going, you know, like in directions that I don't need to go in, that nobody else is expecting me to do, but I'm expecting to do it in my own head. Like, how do I avoid that failure? Right. Like that's to me something that I've learned. And I do hope that others are learning that, you know, I hope that that's getting out there.
And everybody's in a different stage of life. You know, we're all in different places where we're experiencing this. We're experiencing the pandemic or our careers. But if we are, and you are in a stage of, in a space of going, oh, what am I going to do here? And I'm just trying to survive and get by. Ask yourself, is this a season that I'm going through? Is this just a temporary season that I have to just hunker down and get through? Or is this a pattern and way of life that I need to change? Mm-hmm. And if it's the latter, the pattern of life that you need to change, then there are ways to do that. There are so many resources from this podcast, learning more with you, Russ. And I mean, if you love podcasts, there are so many of them out there. Yeah. And there, I mean, in this age of technology, the resources are endless for us to find ways to do that. It does take work and it takes effort, you know, but it's always worth the pursuit.
Yeah,
totally. Always worth it.
That's one of the huge benefits of this time right now is there's so much information out there, right? There's so much, whether it be podcasts.
There's really no websites. Excuse not to find what you need.
Exactly. It's out there. It's totally out there. Sometimes a little too much out there.
Sometimes it is. You're like, which voice do I listen to? Who's right? Who's wrong? Right. Which one's right for me?
No. Yeah. Or self-diagnosis on WebMD. Like that's always a problem too, right?
Oh gosh, Dr. Google.
Yeah. We don't want to do that. That's no good. Kyla, you do some speaking. You have a podcast. Tell us about where people can actually, if they want to learn more or even more, I guess we'll say, about this. Where do they go?
Sure. The best way to find me is on my website at Kyla, that's K-Y-L-A, Kofer, C-O-F-E-R.com. And you can find my podcast right there. You can schedule a free coaching call with me. You can download an ebook, which is free. It's a free little workbook on self-care for leaders. So it walks you some of those things that we talked about today. But I'm also available on LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, you know, all the places at Life Coach Kyla or Kyla Kofer. Awesome. But it's not too hard to find. So yes, I'm a podcaster. You can also listen to the Leadership School podcast, where I interview leaders from around the world about their experience and expertise on leadership with integrity and balance. Oh, so I would love you to tune in there.
Yeah. I like that. With so many people leaving their jobs and, you know, making these changes, I think a lot of that also points to, in many cases, failures on the leaders to not make change. So I'm glad that you're doing that as well.
Absolutely. It really does. And I would say that it stems from leaders not taking care of themselves.
Right.
Because when you're, you know, if you don't think it's important to prioritize your own well-being, you're not going to think it's important for others to prioritize theirs. And so in a leadership role, if you're leading a company, then you're going to really struggle to bring your employees up to speed with you because they're going to be exhausted. So if you're doing that for yourself, you're going to naturally be that it's going to naturally overflow out of you to other people. And that's what leadership is it's bringing other people with you along for the ride.
Thank you so much for sharing this information with us. And please do go check out her podcast. There'll be links to everything that you mentioned in the podcast description of here of this podcast. Kyla, thank you so much for joining me today.
It's absolutely my pleasure. Thank you so much, Russ.
And thank you for listening and subscribing to Learning More. We encourage you and thank you for rating this podcast and sharing it with your friends. As with any podcast that gives medical or legal opinion, the information is not meant to substitute professional advice. And we encourage you to consult a professional to discuss your exact needs. I also encourage you to check out last week's show. If you're in the market for a job, you're definitely going to want to learn more about finding that next job. There's a link in the description to last week's podcast about that very topic. And on our next Learning More, we are going to talk about toxic relationships with Dr. Marnie Hill Fodderaro. Her story is incredible. I talked to her for probably an extra 2 hours after the podcast. She is a fantastic person, and I can't wait to share that conversation with you. If you have something that you would like to learn more about, or if you're interested in being a guest on Learning More, head over to our website, learningmorepodcast.com. Again, thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. I'm Russ, and I look forward to learning more with you next time.